This morning's scripture reading will come from Revelation 21:5. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true."
That's good, Anthony. I could hear all that. The great philosopher cartoonist that writes Calvin and Hobbes inspired me this morning. Hobbes is the little fake tiger. Well, some people think he's real. Anyway, Hobbes says to Calvin, "What New Year's resolutions did you make?" And Calvin says, "I'm not making any New Year's resolutions. As a matter of fact, I don't think I should, and I think it devalues me to require me to make those, and I'm so good, I don't need to make any." And kind of goes off on a tirade about how wonderful he is. And so he asks Hobbes, "What resolutions did you make?" And Hobbes says, "I think I already broke mine. It was to put more faith in mankind." He didn't. He already lost it. He lost no faith in Calvin at all at this point. So we look at this time of year as one where it's a new beginning. Now, we know that with God, we can always have a new beginning. We know that we don't have to wait for the end of the year. We also look at this time of year to put away the things of the past, the things that we value that are our trophies. We put away the hurts of the past. We put away those things. Yes, they're still with us, but we need to press forward. We need to look forward. We look at this time of year and we sometimes believe that with a new year brings new hope. We mark the years. And I hope that you look at the new year with new hope because of your relationship with God. I hope that you look at the new year with new hope because you have determined to follow Jesus more closely. And I hope that you trust Him and put your faith in Him and that good things will happen for you in 2024. So as has been read in Revelation 21:5, "And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.'" You know, when you get something that's brand new, you want to keep it that way. Whether it's new car smell, you know, now you can get new car smell at the car wash. I don't know if I'd trust those chemicals, but anyway, you can get new car smell at the car wash. I know when my grandkids move out of the house, we're seriously considering new carpeting. You know, we thought just having Buckeye around was rough on the carpeting, but grandkids are pretty rough on the carpeting. We like new things, right? We like things, we want to keep them that way. And when they get messed up, you know, I know people that will go out and buy a new car because theirs is dirty. There's nothing wrong with their car. They just want to go buy a new one because theirs is dirty. I've been driving it for 10 years, and look at all this. Well, clean it, man. Cars always run better when you clean them, trust me. Okay? We like new things, and we like a new year, and we resolve to do things that are different, that are better, that will make our life better, that will cause us to have a better quality of life. It gives us hope. There are those, however, that have given up on trying to grow. Their attitude might be like those in Matthew 9:17. "Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins burst and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." They might consider themselves as old wineskins. In Luke 5:36, the scripture says, "And he was also telling them a parable. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, he will both tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. They'll tell themselves that these new things won't work on me. They'll say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that's not what those verses are talking about. Jesus was trying to say that he had new teachings for man, not a patch on the old law. And he was needing hearts willing to be filled with his new teaching. He needed hearts that were looking forward to the new covenant, hearts that were willing to put him first, hearts that were willing to love as he loves. We need to look at ourselves as those new wineskins. We need to look at ourselves as being flexible in accepting what God teaches us through the Word. That teaching was in the form of a new covenant. Based on his work to reconcile God, to reconcile man back to God. In Luke 22, excuse me. In Luke 22, 20, and in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant of my blood. That's the teaching. God was making a new covenant through his Son with us. The Greeks were intrigued by this new teaching. In Acts 17:19, and they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is which you are proclaiming. Paul went to Mars Hill to teach these new things, and the Greeks loved to hear new things. Do we love to hear new things? Do we love to hear the new things of God? Some people look at the scriptures and think that, oh, it's all old stuff. It's still new. Every day is new with the Word of God. We can learn to be stronger and better servants. And we can learn of the hope that's laid out for us. So we come to its meaning for our life, what the new covenant is. We come to the meaning of God's teachings to us, and we examine it this time of year if we're strong Christians. 1 Corinthians 5:7, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. You know, I can relate to this becoming a new lump. I'm kind of lumpy, all right? But we're trying to get rid of the old leaven. We're trying to get rid of those things that keep us from God. You know, in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament with the Pharisees, that leavening was the teaching of the Pharisees, and it was not good for them. So we need to clean out that old yeast. We need to get ourselves right with God. We need to understand the things that he teaches. I appreciate your patience with me. My throat's decided to tickle today. So I'm taking a decongestant and it's not working well with the speaker today. All right. So we don't want to be leavened with that wrong and proper leavening. We want to get rid of our preconceptions or our ignorance. We can understand Jesus' teaching with a heart desiring to draw closer to him. God has set many people on the proper path. Those that listen to him are set on a path of salvation and security. Psalms 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O God, my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with you. If you would declare and speak of them, there would be too numerous to count. God has set many on the proper path and put their feet in a secure place. That's where we want to be. We need to see the greatness of God's actions when we examine ourselves. We need to see how great He is and what He can provide to us. This will encourage us and cause us to keep moving forward in the new year. Psalms 98:1 says, "O sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained victory for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." We sing a new song when we see the things that God has done. You know, I like to hear people say, well, you know, he heard something new or he saw something new and now he's singing a new song, right? Sometimes people will get an attitude about something and then they'll get corrected and then they act and they speak a different way. They're singing a new song. We can sing a new song for the new year. God's work has provided a way for us to be part of something bigger, better, and permanent. Revelations 21:1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away.' And He who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And He said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' Then He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." We can be part of something bigger. We can be part of the eternity. We can be with God, and He will be our God. That suggests a relationship, an intimate one, one of fellowship with God. That's where we want to go. That's what clearing out the old leaven and the old lump does for us. It allows us to set our feet on the right path. So how do we clean out the old lump and pursue this in the new year? There's a few suggestions I would put forth to you today. One, connect with people who support you. Psalms 55:14, "We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng." Acts 2:42, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteous and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness?" 1 John 1:3, "What we have seen and what we heard we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." 1 John 1:6, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You think that fellowship's important to God? Fellowship with God's people is important. You need to be around them. We need to support one another. The church is the mechanism that God has set up to help carry us through like an ark in this flood of a terrible world. I don't know where I would be without relationships that I have in Christ. I think it would be very difficult to walk a Christian life if I didn't have others that I could depend upon. You got to have that fellowship with one another. Secondly, pay attention to what's going on while it's happening. You know, when I was at Nationwide Insurance, they had a corporate value called Be Here Now. I think somebody was upset that so many people were reading their cell phones during meetings and not paying attention to the meeting. If you were at a meeting, you were to be in that meeting and participate in it and understand what was going on, right? Well, I think Be Here Now or pay attention to what's going on while it's happening is important for us as well. You know, doom scrolling, people who go on their phones and scroll through all their texts that are horrible, or Facebook or other social media, it draws our attention away from life, from what's real. It draws us into a world where we react, a world where we become fearful. We need to give attention to the positive moments that are in our life, both because it's enjoyable and because immersing yourself in them has value. You know, as much as I'm looking forward to having the house with just Karen and I again, I would not have the relationship I have with Liam and with Isla unless they were in my house. Right? I get to see them every day. I get to understand who they are. I get to tell Isla she's a cutie bug, and she goes, "No, I'm not. I'm a sweetheart." Can you play that game? So I'm there. I'm present. I understand what's going on. We're together. There are all kinds of things like that in our life that we need to pay attention to. Psalms 119:11 says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Mary, in Luke 2:19, "But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart." This was about raising her son. There are things that I see in this church, people who do things that amaze me. I'm so blessed that I can observe those and see the love that people have. These things encourage me. These things help me in my walk. There are things in your life that you can see where you're a part of paying attention to what's going on. Keep your eyes open. Thirdly, we need to be a good steward with our health and our mind. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy." We don't oftentimes look at the life that God has given us as a gift. We look at it as a trial sometimes. But God did give us life. He gave us the ability to grow. He gave us the ability to work. He gave us the ability to be creative. He gave us the ability to communicate. He gave us so many gifts. It's a requirement that with that gift, that we be good stewards with that gift. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, "But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified." You know, he's saying that I don't want to go and do sinful things. But there's also the idea that we need to be disciplined in how we treat our bodies. If I want to be the best servant I can for as long as I can, it's important that I try to do something good for my health. Do that for your health. We also need to make sure that we're strengthening our mind. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who needs not to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." All right? It's important that we understand what God has taught to us and that we're able to present that to others. Strengthen your mind. Psalms 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Are we strengthening our mind? Are we strengthening our heart? Are we strengthening our relationship with God by studying his word? We need to have good health and a good mind. Like a muscle, how you treat your brain and body impacts your ability to serve. Spend all your time distracted, stressed, and fearful, and habits related to that lifestyle become hardwired. Setting aside time for beneficial activities like sleeping enough, reading, offline hobbies, or practicing mindfulness solidifies stronger tendencies instead. I enjoy reading my scriptures. You know, I got up about 6:15 this morning to go over my Bible class. Here it comes down and says, has the dogs been let out yet? And that was about 8 o'clock. I said, no, I don't need the distraction from the dogs this morning. I wanted to understand more about what I was teaching. And I was enjoying that. Do those kinds of things. Try to live a life where you take care of your brain and your body. And that's from a guy that weighs 283 today. So, you know, I have lost over 50 pounds, but so I'm trying. All right. Let go of consumerism. The science of happiness shows clearly that acquiring stuff cannot keep us happy. It's a false idol. Each purchase or shiny light on our phone instantly passes, leaving us craving more. You know, people who are looking at Amazon all the time to see what new things they can buy. It just leaves us craving more. Enjoy whatever you enjoy, but whenever you catch yourself craving quick fixes, use that moment of proactive awareness to realign yourself with what actually works. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business, and work with your hands, just as we commanded you. That new shiny thing isn't going to do for you. Work your life. Try to be quiet about it. Mind your own business. Do those things. That will lead to more joy than consumerism. Practice kindness and gratitude. Colossians 4:5, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be filled with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. You know, there's enough nut jobs out in the world. The other day I was driving home and a guy was in my lane. I was not happy about that. He was coming towards me. He figured it out and got back over. But that was kind of scary. Those are the times when we need to think ahead that we're going to practice kindness and gratitude. It does no good. The only one that gets abused when that happens is Kira sitting in the car and I'm upset. She doesn't need to be yelled at or hear that, right? We need to look at things with kindness and gratitude. You know, there may be 1,000 reasons that guy was in the wrong lane. I don't know. I just need to say, you know what? Thanks God for protecting me and move forward. Maybe somebody doesn't treat you very well at the store or at the drive-thru line. Maybe somebody that you work with is difficult. It's gratuitous to want to, you know, see them get what's coming due to them. You know, I like watching movies where the bad guy gets what's coming due to him. I think that's God's justice, but that's God's justice, not me. We're here to be kind and to have gratitude. Speak with seasoned salt. So spend time with real people. Treat them well. Put down your devices and move your body. try to expand your mind with good study. When you see a chance, do good things to improve the world. And then amid the onslaught of self-help guides, gurus, and glittery things to play with and buy, commit to the wisdom of the basics of Christ. These are the things that will make your 2024 better. And I'm sure there's hundreds more, but you got to just start somewhere. This morning, if you need help with 2024, maybe you're struggling, maybe getting rid of the old lump is hard, and you want the prayers of the church, we're here. If you need to be baptized into Christ and wash away your sins, today is a great day. Every day is a great day if you want to be baptized into Christ. But I know on special knowledge that this baptistry was drained, scrubbed, and refilled this week. It's clean. We would love to deposit your sins there. We can help you in any way this morning. Please come while we stand and sing.